Father in heaven, we just thank you for this wonderfulness, most glorious, most beautiful day.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we know that we're in some place between transformation from here to where you are. And Father, well, some of us will make it maybe faster, and some of us we don't know. We don't have a schedule, but we know that each one of us is appointed a time when we're going to face you. And Lord, help us not to be afraid of that day. Help us to be ready. Help us to know that we've been approved by you. Help us that we might understand that we're of this world and we have to really have faith just to believe in you, Lord God. It takes faith. It takes courage. But we know that you're real. And we know that you expect us to grow in that faith, that we might be determined and feel in our hearts that there is an everlasting life. And there's a purpose for living a righteous life. There's a purpose for us being here upon this earth. And Lord, we thank you for thy mighty goodness. We thank you for thy mighty blessings. We thank you that you remain the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, we see ourselves that you want us to actually change. You never change, but we're to change from where we are somewhere to a little degree to like you are. And that changing takes determination. That changing takes our utmost love of thee and that determination to go forth in thy name. And Lord, we know, realize it's not easy. Maybe it's not easy, but we know that you know we can make it. That we're more than conquerors through you which loves us. And Father, we thank you for that peace that passes all understanding. We thank you for that joy that we can have that settling in our heart that you're real. And we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. I wonder if anyone heard anything about our president. Did anyone hear? I heard that last night. I just wonder if any of you heard that about that he made some kind of a settlement with the Arabs against the Jews. I haven't really been, Brother Clint will tell you, I haven't been very, everybody said, but I felt that somehow there was something, a catch. And I'm not sure if this has been done. It's a serious problem because one thing's for sure. We all to stay in right standing with God, we've got to have a love for Israel.
Amen. Amen.
And the more that I see in it, the Israelites have a kindred spirit of God in them. And maybe they're not living for them, but they have his nature. Mm-hmm. And that's why God tells me, even though nature's not enough, got to have the out of our heart. But we have the Gentile nature. And when you study out the Gentile nature is very lascivious. All these wrong habits, that's why God says he didn't want his people to associate with us because we might defile the Israelites. Because our nature was not such as becoming to a child of God. But Israel, somehow, we know, according to the Word of God, have had a failure to stay in alignment with God. Sometimes people say, well, God's hard. No, he's not hard. He just wants us to walk upright before him. And there's some serious problems. In the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, it talks about because they did not have joyfulness. When we lose our joy, really, I was thinking about this week, anytime that I start losing my joy, then it means that I'm sort of not very full of the love of God. It's very simple. I've lost it. And when I'm very joyful, that means I'm been at the well and surviving very well. But when I'm very anger and very unhappy and all these things that comes on us without the Spirit and without that regeneration, the renewing of our minds that we must do every day to prove ourselves worthy of the Lord. So it becomes a determination every day of our life to encourage ourselves in the Lord. The battle is the Lord. We must realize that we're very inferior within ourselves. We're not capable of going against the forces that we have to meet. Though we don't want to meet them, but they're very stubborn against us. So we must stay in the hands of God. Says, Lord, I'm afraid of this day. I don't want to make it, but I want to hide myself in you. And when we hide ourselves in the Lord, he puts great blessings upon us. He gives us great love because He realized that we're not no match against what's out there. He knows if we will stay in Him, we're more than conquerors to be able to go forth in that day. Now, when that day is over, then it seems like we have to readjust for the next day. It's not an everlasting situation. We're an ongoing situation. We have to repeat day by day to keep ourselves well inspired by the Spirit of God. Anytime that we quit, we have like static stops, like an engine that's misfiring. And that's what we do when we don't, when we got a bad day, it's not pulling that day. So we've got a dead spot. And so when this happens repeatedly, pretty soon, then we've lost our inspiration. This is talking as a natural man, but it's very beneficial to us that we realize that this body is made up of God. And it can go two different ways. It can go God's ways or the enemy's ways. And we're in the center of this situation, so we come into a place that we're in a battleground ourselves. And we must determine we have a great voice in the direction that we travel. But we have to be pretty stubborn in the Lord, or very determined in the Lord, to make ourselves complete in the Lord. So we have to realize at the battle, without God, I'm at loss. Now with Him, I'm ahead. Not a lot ahead, but I'm some ahead. And that's we have to really encourage ourselves day by day. In the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, I'd like to read this. The 28th chapter and the 47th verse. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with a gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore, he's talking to Israel. Therefore, thou shalt serve thy enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee. So God actually allows Satan to move against us. Because it's just like Job. God didn't kick Job out. Job says, you know, I said, got a man there. And so the Lord says, I've got a man named Job, and he'll serve me. No, if you'll let me get in there and just do all these bad things, he will curse you. And God says, no, he'll serve me. And so this contest sort of came between Satan and God about the outcome of Job. So as we know in the book of Job, it says that God says, okay, you can do anything, but you can't take his life. So here he lost his family. You know, and that had to be really hard. He lost his camels, his herds, the biggest stockholder, I guess, of anybody. Job was the man. He was the man. But he feared God, and he lived righteously before God, and so that God blessed him, and God moved upon him, multiplied him. But when Job went through this, and we start reading the book of Job, is how that Job went through periods of time when he says he thought there was not going to be another day. He thought that was going to be that literally, and his wife says, curse God and die. He says, no, I'll never curse God. Though God slay me, yet I'll still trust him. Though God slay me. Hallelujah. Though God slay me, I'll still, and that's the determination that we need. Though God slay me, yet we'll still trust Him. Because the hereafter is forever, never, never, and the part that we're experiencing now is a short time. Now it feels like a long time over here, and it's time when things don't go good, and there's always problems, everything we see. There's certain situations we face continually that absorb our energies. We can be feeling good of the Lord. And many times there's something we come up and we have a headache, we have a sickness, we have a problem, we have loved ones, we have things that happen to us that take away or could rob us of who we have in the Lord. And they're made there to see what the outcome is going to be, of which way we're going to lean. We can lean to the Lord or lean against Him. It's like in the parable in the book of Luke, it says that this man had two sons. And the younger son says, I want my inheritance. The father says, okay, if that's what you really, and I'm in the father, dead is level best. Time, don't take your inheritance because you have a home here, and I placed you here in a good place. You don't have to worry. You're saved. And he says, no, I'm going to go out and see the world. But you know, it must have broke the heart of the Lord when he went away from, and God spoke to me that as we go away, it breaks, and we can do that daily. We can go to the Lord, or we can go from Him. We can go to the Lord. And this is many times with our backslidings and our up and down situation. By the time we're going to the Lord, we get out here and we start zigging, we go backward. We go up, we go down. We go up, and God wants us to return back to Him. And this young man, one thing that he did when he seen his falls, he was at the bottom. He lost everything that he had. He says, where can I go? He says, my father's this hired are better off than I am. He says, they eat at the table and they're treated by my father. He says, why don't I go back to my father? I could be one of the servants. He was willing to take a servant's place. But when the father seen him afar off, the father went to him. And the father had great compassion for him. And the father felt for him. And the father rejoiced over him. He says, kill the fatted lamb. We're going to have a meal, a great time of joyfulness together because the son had returned. And that's a great parallel. That young man had to determine that he needed help. And the problem is, well, this may get into some of the things that the Lord just showed me today, but I think there's going to be a problem. I'm not going to say what the problem is, but the Lord showed me there's going to be a big problem that's going to be bigger than ever been before the Lord comes. And it's a real problem. And it's a heavy problem. And I don't really think I should. But God wants us to be willing to go to Him, whatever the cost be. And see, many of us are deliberately, I'd say many of us, I'm talking about a lot of people, will serve God as long as everything's going their way. As long as they're in the recipient of receiving from God. But any time they have to stand alone and say, Lord, they won't do it. And that's the part that God is trying to find out in us, how we're going to stand before the odds that's before us. And that is what I think we're at that very special time. The stage is being set to the world that God is coming back very soon. And He is coming back for Jesus, because Jesus is at His right hand. And I really believe the Holy One from that God has set here upon this earth. At that time, this is my feelings, He's going to take the elect that's where they should. He's going to bring them back, and there's going to be a wedding supper. And I believe that day is not too far off. I don't want to speculate because I don't know. But I believe we're on that horizon, that knowing that the Bible says in this last day there should be scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. They're saying all these things have continually went on from the very, but they're not willing, they're ignorant of the heavens of old and the earth out of the water. The earth was in the water, overflowed with water, perished. But it says, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heaven and new earth where dwells righteousness. It says, seeing that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you be in holy conversation and godliness? There's going to be a day when, like Noah, he preached and he had no takers. You know, Jonah, I like to read about Jonah and think about Jonah, because Jonah had to be sort of a sarcastic, I've said this with the Lord knows, but I'm just seeing what I see in the Word. He was very, did his own search about, he wasn't too much of a follower. He was always one that was going to, you know, you've read it too. But Noah, it seemed like Noah just preached and preached and preached, very steady, probably up there in this. They said, Noah, hey, look at that crazy Noah, still build his ark. 100 years, 120 years, and Noah still built the ark. Still stayed with it. Says Noah says, He's coming. Lord's coming. Oh, Noah, now you know after 120 years, you know, you miss it, Noah. You know, you're foolish and all these things, how people say these words. But Noah stayed true. And then that night when God says, Noah, get in that ark. And when he got the two pairs in there, he said that God sealed the doors. And those people must have been lamenting. They must have been yelling, because it never rained on this earth. And this flood kept, and rained and rained, and heavy rain. It wasn't rain like we, and rain just came. And you've never seen rain, you know, we've seen pictures on the news how rain comes in. Rain's powerful. Water's powerful. It just takes everything out ahead of it, and it's very threatening to life. It's very positive, a hard situation to deal with. And these people must have really said, you know, we wish we'd have, we wish we'd have taken heed. We wish we'd have never, please give us another chance. But it was too late. And that's what's going to happen, I think, very shortly. And I think people are thinking they're a lot better off than they are. And last week in Revelations, we was reading in the third chapter. I'd like to go back over that just a little bit. But I really believe that God is getting his people ready.
Amen. Praise God.
You know, if this wasn't going to take place, if there wasn't going to be nothing take place, I would still wouldn't take anything from my experience with God. It would not make a bitter difference. It is or isn't, because I believe that what I've had more fun. People laugh at me, but it didn't make any difference. I've had a better life, higher quality, being able to receive the blessing from God, like this morning, having the Lord walk by your side. Oh, hallelujah. How great. You know, and I'm a nobody. And people say, oh, you know, I could see it if Benny Hinn or someone else, but we, you know, you're just impossible. So most people say, okay, we don't believe it. I know a man jumped up in the church here, says, that's a lie. I said, I don't lie, but he said, well, he said, no, I just shut up. But people believe that only certain people can get with God. But the Bible doesn't say that. He looks on us. And there's a great parallel to this is about David and his brothers. His brothers were the mighty ones. They're the ones that went in the king's army. And they was the one, the hot shots, they had all the stripes. And David, he had to stay home with the sheep. He had to stay there, and he was nothing. He was just a little red-headed nothing boy. But boy, he knew the Spirit of God. Boy, he says, I know how, when he comes down there, his father comes and takes his provision down to his brother, and how he gets there, and everybody was afraid. The Bible says, God has not given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He said, hey, you brothers, how come you're so fearful? What are you a bunch of chickens? You know, I'm not afraid to go up against that Goliath. And they looked, and he says, oh, him? No, he said, I'm not afraid of him. I fought bears, I fought everything. And God's always been with me, and he has never leave me now. He has never left me, and he's always with me. And I know, I am persuaded that nothing is able to come against me if I'm in the hand of God. He says, we're more than conquerors through him which love. And pretty soon Saul says, well, you know what? Maybe this lad can do it. Maybe he can pull it off. And they try to put the armament. He says, I have not proved this armor. But he had proved that sling. And his place with God, it was really his place with God. His place with God was his very special place. And you know how, well, you know how he goes out there, that giant just really toys with him. He says, why did you send out a little old boy up here to me? He says, I'm a Superman. That's basically what he said. You've never seen a guy like me. I'm head and shoulders taller than anything that you've ever seen. I'm about 10 foot tall. And you're coming to me, a scrawny looking old kid. And he probably yelled at him and cursed at him and said terrible things. But praise God, God was on the throne. God was with David. God says, all seeing, I was there. And he says, but David, my son, and his heart, David was hearing these words, be not afraid, for I, the Lord thy God, shall go with thee, and I shall comfort thee, and I shall help thee. And when he moved out, he had great power, and the great anointing of the Lord was stayed upon him. And that blessings, hallelujah. You know, like Gideon, when the angel of the Lord come to Gideon and says, oh, thou man of valor. Gideon says, who? And he says, you, Gideon. You know, sometimes God sees us as he sees us. People see us from the outside. And our outside does not really meet the minds of people that carry out what they view as somebody being. You know, they say, well, I view him as a, you know, I see a preacher, you know, I see our pastor. He's got nice, clean hands. I don't see you with any of these characteristics. And God says, don't make any difference. I see your heart.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord becomes our strength. It comes something that's supernatural. God lives within us. Oh, praise you, the Lord. When God's before us, who can be against us? As Israel had the will of God with them when they left Egypt. And Moses said, he says, we'll move out when God moves out by the pillar. We'll follow that. But pretty soon Israel started grumbling. And that's when, that scripture, they lost the joy. And when we start grumbling, we lose our joy. When we start quit praising God, we lose our joy. When we start quit praying, we lose our joy. When we stop reading the Word, we lose our joy. These are parts that keep us with the joy of the Lord because of strength. With that, the mind of Christ can be with us when we have the Spirit of God. The Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard against him. We say, well, how can that be? We say, I am nothing. But God takes over and makes up what we're not. He is there to complete which we've lost. Gideon, we know that Gideon, 1% of the army, became the force that God used. There was 33,000, and then the Lord got it down to 10,000, he lost the 20s. Anyway, he got it down to 300, and these 300, God moved mightily. But that's the way God moves. It's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord. But God is not slack concerning His promises, but it says, God is trying, He's trying to get us ready to be able to listen to Him. It says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they do not know. And I hope this will come across right. The Lord spoke to me this morning that His people are not really planning for spiritual, they're planning for things of this world, even the Christians. They're planning for pursuing a something else than what God's saying. God's saying, lay aside everything that does these are the status. So I know that and I thank God that God's taken it from me, but when I was a caterpillar mechanic, it took a lot of dedication, even say, because there takes a lot of, Sister Jan and both of you know that when you're working, it takes almost all your undivided attention doing what you're doing, right? And God knows this. So there's a time when we have to keep our minds stayed on what we're doing. So if we get too involved within tactics of doing God's work, we can get so tied up in doing the will that we forget about doing His will. We can make great demands on, say, a structure. We're going to build a church. And we'll say, I'm going to build this church for the Lord. When God says, maybe He didn't even have it, but I'm just saying, I think. So we can get so caught up in the fact of building the church that we lose that close communion with God. We can get so caught up as a Sunday school teacher that I forget about that closeness with God that allows me to be that good Sunday school teacher. And this is what our church couldn't understand here the last time I spoke out there, because they asked me to speak, and I told them, they wanted me to speak because of the rescue mission and the Spirit of God. And I just told them, I said, you know, really, if it wasn't for the Lord, I could not do the rescue mission. And I said, but what determined the rescue mission is because years ago I made some choices. And I said, I think that's pretty much in us. We need to start making choices that we're going to do certain and be stay regimented in those areas that I'm going to not move left or right. I'm going to stay in those promises the best I can do, the ability that God has given me. That I'm going to seek for God. I'm going to search for Him. I'm going to try as much as is within me, praying without ceasing. I'm going to be as thankful as I can. And when I'm not thankful, Lord, You get a hold of me and spank me real good, because I need to be encouraged come to that place that we remain faithful in the Lord. And in this, we can get so tied up with cares that pretty soon there's no more joy. We don't have no more peace. And there's people that's even almost losing it, and they're in great high positions with the Lord. So we got to untie ourselves to some means to where we can at least at night be able to cry out to God and say, Lord, I love You. At least have a few minutes. I'm not saying how much. The more we can, the better it is. But at least God's understanding. But when we can, we need to say, time out. I need to pray and seek God. I need to call upon Him. I need to have Him to come down to my heart to unload me of this day of my problems. Unload the cares. Unload the problem. Why I'm feeling like I'm feeling. I feel like I'm washed out. I feel like I'm upset in my spirit. I feel like I've got a headache and all these things that I don't need. And I want You to relieve me of all these
problems, these heavy weights of obligations I find myself in, that I might be a rise above where I'm at and do thy will, O Lord. And teach me to follow thee, because there's going to be a lot of hindrances coming in. These are hindrances from the enemy. He comes in, and God's allowing him to do it, that we might be tried, that we might be able to come through those hindrances and prove within ourselves, as David proved himself, prove ourselves and the Lord Jesus Christ. If it was easy, it wouldn't be no contest, it would not be worth it. But it's going to be hard, it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it all, and we will remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. That we might plan to do His will. That we might plan to be obedient. You know, Betty, I've seen her die, I think, 4 or 5 times now. It's getting harder and harder and harder. You know, I'm really, you know, this last time, and the doctor was just amazed. He said, I don't see how she does it. And this is one day after we brought her in, 2 o'clock the next night, they had to go back and revive her. She was gone. She was on her way. But they caught her just in time. So we don't know our livelihood. We don't know why we exist or why God controls everything. But I want to have a sweet, sweet spirit in my life. You know, if I don't have anything else, I want to have a sweet spirit down here. I want to have it when God says, yeah, I'm here. He says, Lord, yeah, I'm here, Lord. I hear you. I thought about the other night. You know, I've never, you know, people say, well, they pray for things, but God always asked me to do something. And like last Sunday night, after the dryer wouldn't work, I said, oh, Lord, and my daughter was there, and her kids were there, and my son-in-law was there, and all this. But I'll tell you, with it all, I go and says, and I said, Lord, you're my comfort. I just have to steal away and pray. But the Lord spoke to my heart. He says, that dryer just would not work. And I started unloading the dryer, and the Lord says, you're doing right, unload it. Now I want you to load it back up. It'll work. Load it back up. Work. But God is always pretty much, I've had to do something. I've had to really to do what He told me to do. This might be foolish to other people, but it works. And what God tells you to do something, like that leader in Israel says, go see Elijah. And he says, when he got leprosy, Elijah didn't even go see him. He says, go tell him, go to Jordan and dip 7 times. And, oh, it made him upset. And he says, oh, he says, and part of this servant of him says, well, if I was you, I did listen. I'd do what he says. You know, I've learned that to be very true with the Lord, that many times God has a special something in your heart that He asks you to do. And with that, things happen. You know, and I think that there's a lot to that. It wasn't the fact that the Lord could have probably did it anyway, but He told me to finish unloading it and then load it back up. All of you know probably much about a dryer as I do, but really that has no part of that dryer working or not working. But it worked. And it works better than it ever has in a long time. I don't know what was didn't want to really heat right, and now it works perfect. But you know, we don't know all the logistics or whatever it is. God is real. Amen. He has a certain pattern. Like Brother Clinton, I went to that prayer meeting, and the Spirit of God says, leave. And I didn't leave quite fast enough. The Spirit of God says, I told you to leave. And I got up right then, and Brother Clinton remembers, I just brought up and left. That oddball, you know, but God said leave. He says, you don't need to be here. This is not for you. And when I got outside, the Spirit of God just flooded me with His presence. I thought, oh, Lord, this is better than that could ever be. But God has a way of helping us. Amen. This might be sounding as, but God wants us to be happy. If we're not happy, God wants us to find out why we're not happy. For us to find out. And we need to call upon God. If we don't know, then we need to seek Him and say, Lord, why am I not happy? If something is bugging us, we need to seek God. God is the answer for all of our situation. Man cannot do it, but God is the answer. He is the one that we must take our needs to Him. He cares for us. Brother doesn't know. All I am is just a messenger boy. Not even that much. But God is the answer. He is the way, the truth, and life. No one comes unto the Father but by Him. Greater is He that's within you, He that's within the world. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. For in my Father's house are many mansions. We need to get these as prayers in our heart. And we must pray the word at times. God has not given the spirit of fear. Lord, I thank you this day that you have not given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Greater are you within me. He is with the world. Let not my heart be troubled. And pray it and believe it that you pray the word in the, because you're putting God in your prayers.
Amen.
And God will bless you. He will strengthen you. There's something about the move of that uttering. Building up yourself in the most holy faith. Pray in the spirit. There's something about it that quiets our emotions down. It quiets us down to a place that we can be there at that place. God has to stop sometimes our emotions, our characteristics about us, the place that we get, the place that we can't even hear. Well, that was one of the things that God was showing me, and I know it's true, and I, it was proved. Lord, show me more. But people don't even hear us at times. They're not with you. They're there, but God says, when they're there, they're thinking about something else. And when they get there, they're wishing they were you. So he has to be able to be able to reach them some way. And sometimes he lets them stumble to a certain time, and God will say something. And at that time, that's this period of time. But that's when you don't want to, but God says do it, and you do it for him. But there's many crises that each one of us is going to face. And these crises come day by day. To help people, to strengthen people. Here a while back, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want you to be at a grocery store at a certain time. And I knew when I got there, and I seen this girl. And God had a message for me to give this girl. And this girl was very in trouble. You could see that. She was the dirtiest girl. Girls are generally clean. But she was in need of hygiene. She needed a touch from heaven. And I told her, I said, God loves you so much. But anyway, God had appointed time to be there. And God has appointed time for all of us that we can grow in him. And I realize that there's special callings on certain people that doesn't enable everyone to be on the same level. But we all work together. And there is special achievements that can be met every day.
Amen.
And it's a very special place that we might walk before the Lord. But I really believe that God is coming very soon. He's coming through the clouds of glory.
Amen.
And he's coming for a peculiar people. Bible says, hath not known everlasting God, the creator thereof, fainteth not, neither does he grow weary. There is no searching of his understanding. There is no searching of God's. He giveth power to faint. The youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings of eagle. They shall run and not be worried. They shall walk and not faint. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. We need to call upon God. And I don't really know the answer to this, but I really believe that there's some people that are coming up very short from where God wants them to be. And these are those that have known God. There is going to be a very awakening, a shaking. It's going to take place. And I believe God's children need to be ready, because it's a time when that day comes, we won't have time to go in and restructure, redo a lot of things we'd like to do. We're having time right now. The Bible said, knowing the time, now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off all the works of darkness. And let us put on the whole armor of life. We have to speak out to getting rid of the works of darkness. I really believe that many times we try to pass it off, and we go up even prayer lines and says, well, but a lot of it is God saying, grow up, my child. Take dominion. That you have great power. God's given us power over death, grave, and hell. That God has given us strength. And we must take dominion over the things that we're facing. And that becomes our obligation to the Lord. And God is saying, grow up, my children. Seek my face. Call upon me. You're made of better stuff than you feel like that you are. Claim what you are. And God will reestablish you in his presence.
Amen.
And without him, we're failures. But with him, we're more than conquerors through him, which loves us. But I really believe that God is here to strengthen us in a very special way. Lord, I just praise you, Lord. But I think the problem is really third chapter. It says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead. And that's the problem. That's right. We claim that we're living, but God says you're dead. We claim that I'm right with God. We're dead. It says, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. This is God speaking these words. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched. God said thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. Then it comes down and says, let thy nakedness be open. God wants us to be clothed with him. It says, I counsel thee to buy gold tried with fire, that thou mayest be rich with white raiment. Thou must be clothed, that thou must, thy shame and thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And I'll tell you what, there's going to be a real, God has really spoken my heart just today, and it just broke my heart. There's going to be millions. Their eyes are going to be blinded. And they're going to just be this simply what they're going to say. They're going to go to church every Sunday, but it takes that overpowering the glory of God. And I'm even for myself, I'm very concerned about myself. We got to learn to fight. We got to learn to fight for myself, ourselves. That if we don't fight for ourselves, we can't help anyone else. So we've got to fight and stabilize ourselves that we might encourage someone. And once we're where we should be, it's easy. But getting to that place, it's not so easy to get us there. And we must be very concerned. And we must be very believing that it takes God's Spirit upon me. And I cannot make it without the Lord.
Amen.
Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with good and have saying, I've talked to people in meetings. I said, you need anything? No, I don't need nothing. And I know in my heart, they're as hard as nails. I know I talked to a man a while back and my heart just went out for him. And I says, can I pray for you? No, I don't need you. But this is what it's talking about. I have need of nothing. And sometimes I think our personalities causes, and that's why we got to get out of this also. We don't know anybody by the flesh, but we got to know them by the Spirit. We know them by the flesh. The flesh will fool us. The flesh is uncanny. But the Spirit, the Bible says, the spiritual man judgeth all things, yet himself that judges no man. For the natural man receives not the things, for they are the foolishness of it, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned.
Amen.
For the spiritual man judgeth all things, yet himself that judgeth no man. And that says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that we might instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
The natural man receives not the things from the Spirit of God. So anyway, it says they're getting it and they're not doing it through the Spirit. I tell you, I see pastors that say, oh, Spirit, but the Spirit don't move. Oh, I'm questioning what they're doing. Because me, I don't see it that way. I don't feel it that way. And I have a question for them. And the Bible says, are you the brother's keeper? And I say, yes, we are. To some way, we need to pray. Not in a judgmental way, but lifting up, encouraging one another. Because I believe there is going to be a blindness that's going to come upon this earth. It's going to be there. And everybody says, we got it made. You know, we had Brother Johnson in our church. And, you know, everything, we had a move from heaven. And we had everything just right. And when you had it, last week may have been a week too late. You need to stay up to date every day of our life. And we're going to have to learn. It says he will come in like a thief in the night. It says you do not know the hour when he comes. So thou must be prepared. The 25th chapter of Matthew says that if they would have known the day of the hour. It says the five are wise and five are foolish. The wise had the oil in their lamps. The foolish had left the oil in the lamps. And that's like the Holy Spirit leaving us. And when that hole, there was no more oil there. You get dry. They lost their love. They've lost their estate in the Lord, their God, and through that they live out. And then when the good men came, the Lord came, they was tarrying, they was looking for oil. But they was left. And that's the way it's going to be. We need that oil of the Lord day by day, the power of God, the anointing of God, the beneficial part from heaven. God wants to insulate us from the powers that we might be reinstated from heaven day by day. For the light affliction we have is only for us a moment, working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Though we look not for the things that are seen, we look for the things which are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're putting too much value in what we're seeing. When we see someone, we're looking at the problem instead of looking to the problem solver is Jesus Christ. We need to have our eyes stayed upon Him, and we don't even see the problems. We see the glory of God. Well, God doesn't want us to look upon the problem. We want to look upon Him. He is the way, the truth, the life. No one can come to the Father but by Him. We keep our eyes upon Him through the matchless glories of God, that we're not in a place of judging. We're not in that place of bringing condemnation on anyone else. We're in that place of interceding for them, lifting up those in the holy faith of God, having the determination that we will win for heaven.
Amen.
We might put on that good news from God. We have the good news. Bible says that we have the good news. We have how beautiful the feet of those who proclaim the word of God. This word of God is quick and sharper and more powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It says dividing what the word of God can only do. We need the will of God in our hearts and lives that we might receive the joy from heaven, that we might receive that peace, that we might receive that pardon, we might receive that victory within us, that we're in Him more than conquerors. With ourselves, we're failures, but with Him, we will complete the jobs before us. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God.
For I, the Lord thy God, am here this day in a very special way, said the Spirit of God. I'm here with my hands open to my people. But I say my people are not replying. They're saying they're well off these days. They have great and many benefits. They know a lot, said the Spirit of God. But I say, in reality, they've forgotten the Lord thy God. They've grown into a way of their own counsel, of their own direction, of their own identification, and they've forgotten me as their Savior. They've forgotten me as their waymaker. They've forgotten me as the one that will keep them, the one that will save them. I say their eyes, many are blinded, and they're gone after another. And another will take them down to a place that they will lose that blessing. They will lose that inheritance. But of which I give to my people, I say, my people will always have my blessings. They will have my peace. And they will have my joy. And I say the world will not see any value within these my ones. But I say those ones that are mine, they shall have great joy. And they shall have great peace. And they shall have great confidence in their Heavenly Father. They will have great confidence in the Savior, Jesus Christ the righteous. And they will have great confidence in the Holy Ghost. And they will live upright because the Spirit of God is leading them and guiding them and directing them. For I'm calling forth a people that will not be clumsy in this last days. And I say, natural man is very clumsy in all of his attire. I says he cannot present himself holy. I say, says the Spirit of God, that he tries. But I said he's unable, incapable of presenting himself as a child of God. For I am here to strengthen my ones, to give them my peace, my joy, my blessings, that my people will be remain strong, that my people will be full of my love. My people would be full of the Lord their God. That they would lift their eyes to hills, no longer looking for the things of this world, but they would have a love for their Savior. They would have a love for the Heavenly Father. And they would want the Spirit of God to be within them. They desire the heavenly flow from heaven. They would desire the message of their heart. They would desire that special touch. They would desire that special communion. I will keep my people, said the Spirit of God. I will cause those ones that they will seek me. They shall surely find me, and they will not be ashamed, and they will not be found naked in that day, for I shall clothe them with the humility from heaven, and I shall keep them, and I shall seal them, and I shall keep them from the hour of destruction that shall come upon this earth. And I say those that are left upon this earth at that time are going to come to us as times of sadness, a time of atrocities, a time of heartaches, a time of heart failures. Men's hearts shall fail them because of what they see, what they feel. The problems is going to face them. But I say my people should be out of here before that day approaches. My people must be ready before that day approaches. My people must be ready. My people need to be ready. My people need to be in so love, in love with their Heavenly Father, in love with their Savior, love with the Holy Ghost, that they want to leave this place that's full of atrocities, full of troubles, and they will have that exodus that comes through the loving hand of the Heavenly Father, and they shall be met at that day, that very special time, and the other shore where there's going to be all is well, and all will be well for those who come that day. For I'm looking for a peculiar people, a zealous people, a holy people, a righteous people to walk upright before me and say, and I say there'll be many scoffers saying, where is the promise of these people? Where is the promise? But I say that coming is very sure and very close to that day. And I say that day shall come and come like a snare upon earth. And I say many will miss that day and they shall be looking. I say many of them have paid lots of tithes, many of those who have paid many fathoms, and many have lost their love. And I say for my church needs to be not longer lukewarm or cold, but my church needs to be hot for the Holy Ghost. My people need to be on fire for the Spirit of God, that they might insulate themselves from the powers of darkness that's going to face this earth. My people need to take on righteousness, that they might exhaust the powers of darkness that's going to come against them. That they will not no longer do the will of the enemy, but they will do the will of the Father. My people need to come closer to me this night, and my people would receive that blessing, that grace that I have given them. For I say there's hardness around about thee this night. I say there's hardness around even this country. I say it's hard to get my word out this night because of the powers of darkness. My power is hard to speak this night, said the Spirit of God, because the infractions of the enemy is very close. He's coming to destroy, to kill, to steal. But I've come to give you more abundant life. I've given you peace. I've given you joy. Seek me and call upon me and ye shall find me. Be not afraid, for I, the Lord thy God, shall cherish thee and keep thee. If thou shalt come to me, I will not deny thee, but I shall help thee. I will encourage thee, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God.
Amen. That was God talking. Boy, that was good. That was the icing on the cake.
I knew I had, my tongue was getting so hard. Boy, the Lord just does me that way when it gets to a certain point. I just got to give over.
It gets better. People are going to get fed on that. Hallelujah.